Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
John chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 1. Then there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Turn over a few chapters to chapter 10. Look at verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." I've had a number of people let me know that they're praying for me, that they can sense a heaviness in my spirit. I was on the ball field and I had a person come to me and say, "Pastor, I can just tell you have a lot on your mind. I'm really praying for you." And I said, "I appreciate that." And I do. I have a lot on my mind because I feel like what the Lord has placed in my heart is so foreign to where we are and how we think that it's difficult for me to go on this path because it's so against the culture of what we think and believe that I have to get my own mind. And so really what I want to do this morning is I just want to have a conversation with you. I don't want to preach at you, because God knows that I'm not where that I want to be. But if I have to get perfect before I can lead you, then I'm afraid that day may never come. But if we can take His word and have a conversation and say, "You know what? I think we can get here." That's what I want to do this morning. Do you have a few minutes for me today? Okay. Father, you know my heart. And I'm just praying that you touch my mind and my mouth and help me to speak, Lord, into the heart of this assembly, this wonderful group of people that I love so dearly and deeply, and that I know, Lord, you have more for us. And I want to walk, and we want to walk in all that you have for us. I pray, Lord, that now you would bring us together, not just in body, but in mind and spirit, for the next 35 minutes, and help us to receive the engrafted word of God. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So now go back to the book of John chapter 3, if you would, to our text, and in effect, Nicodemus was saying, as he looked at Jesus, he was saying, I see the kingdom of God at work in you. Would you agree with that statement? I see the kingdom of God at work in you. He said, because no one can do these signs that you are doing except God be with him. And so he goes on to say, basically, I want to know more. Because I see, Jesus, that you have tapped into a spiritual dimension that I, as a man, have never experienced before. And Jesus looked at him and he said, Nicodemus, if you want what I have, you can have it. But you can't unless you enter the kingdom. And so he said, I want in. How do I get in this kingdom? And Jesus looked at him and he said, unless you are born again of water and of spirit, you can't enter the kingdom. Now, Jesus states very emphatically in verse 5, again, he states it, if you want what I have, you first have got to enter the kingdom. And you can't enter the kingdom except you're born again of water and of spirit. Do you realize that no one had the baptism of the Holy Spirit from Adam all the way to John the Baptist? So it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't around in the Old Testament. It was around because the scripture tells us in the book of Judges that the Spirit came mightily upon Gideon. Tells us also in the book of Judges that the Spirit came mightily upon Samson and he was able to do extraordinary feats with his strength. It also lets us know that the Spirit came upon Elijah and Elisha. It came upon Moses, it came upon David, it came upon King Saul, and he prophesied with the prophets. So the Spirit was there, it was just on people. And it would come upon them for a time and a season, and then it would depart. Is everyone in agreement with that? Now here's where it gets difficult to believe. Here's the part that I'm even struggling with. Let's have a conversation here. If what I just said is true, that the Spirit of the Lord, the baptism of the Spirit was not in Adam all the way to John the Baptist, then what that means is that we are greater than the Old Testament men and women who went before us. Not because of who we are, and not because of any merit of our own goodness, but because of the indwelling Spirit and power of Almighty God. Now, this is going to be hard for you to wrap your mind around, but I beg you to stay with me. To the extent, brothers and sisters, that God's Spirit is living on the inside of us, we are greater than Abraham, Moses, Samuel, Samson, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, in all of the prophets. Why would that be, Pastor? Because they only had a measure of the Spirit. And it would only come upon them at particular times, but it did not dwell inside of them. Am I making sense? Let me show you a passage of Scripture This is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm going to take the last portion of this scripture. It says, we have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the angels desire to look into. What does that mean? It means, brothers and sisters, that the angels actually desire to look into the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they don't have it. The prophets and the Old Testament people did not have it, but you have it. If you have been born again, you have what the angels don't have. You have what Moses and Abraham and the prophets didn't have. You and I have the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling on the inside of us. Say, that's powerful. Yes, it is. So now let's go back to our text in John chapter 3. Why did Nicodemus want into the kingdom? Obviously, Jesus had something that he didn't see anyone else had. Jesus's lifestyle was so compelling that Nicodemus wanted what Jesus had. Now, what was so compelling about Jesus that this ruler, Nicodemus, the Bible says, came to Jesus at night, so Nick at night. Got you to smile, good. So Nick at night came and said, I want to know more about this. What makes you so powerful? You're a mighty teacher. When we hear the Pharisees teach, they don't teach as one that has authority. They can't do these miracles that you're doing. How are you doing this? Jesus said, if you want into this kingdom, if you want to do what I do, you got to get what I've got. And I am full of the Spirit. And so do you. You got to be born again. And Jesus came preaching in the book of Luke. He came preaching this gospel. This is Luke 4 and 18. He says this. He rose up one Sunday morning when he was in the synagogue. He took the book of Isaiah and he preached from this text. And he said this. Jesus said these words. He said, I am anointed to preach good news. Good news. Say good news. Guess what you ought to get at church? You ought to get good news. We face enough hell out in the world. We face enough hell with working with unsaved people. You shouldn't live in hell and then come in here and get more hell. You should hear good news. And the good news, I'm not saying there's not a hell. We don't want to go there. The good news is we don't have to, because Jesus came so we wouldn't have to. If you go, it's not because he's sending you. It's because you made the choice to go, not because that's what he wants. The good news is that he came to save you and to set you free. He preached what he wanted to do. He said, I want to heal the brokenhearted. He said, I want to set at liberty those that are captive. He went on to say, he said, I want to recover sight for the blind. I want to give liberty to those who are oppressed. I want to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that God's favor can rest upon your life. That's good news. Do you agree? So why, brothers and sisters, would little children run up to Jesus? Why would crowds, multitudes, 5,000 people be willing to leave their farms and their fishing boats and come 3 days, 3 days to listen to Jesus without food? There was something so attracted to him that they would go on a 3-day fast and not go into town to eat because they wanted to sit at his feet and listen to what he had to say. Do you understand on the third day is when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes? And that is really, according to what we see, the first time they ate in 3 days. What would be so attractive that you could get somebody to come to you and listen to you for 3 days and not eat? I can barely get you to stay here for 30 minutes before you walk out on me. And you ate breakfast. Come on, somebody. Jesus had them spellbound for 3 days without nothing. Why would they do that? Because they saw something in him they wanted. They wanted this life of power. They wanted this life of overcoming. They wanted to hear this good news. He said, listen, I got good news. I'm going to give you oil for your mourning. I'm going to give you joy for your mourning. And I'm going to give you a garment of praise for your heaviness. And I'm going to give, you got old ashes given to me, and I'm going to give you beauty for your ashes. Guess what? I'm going to help change your life, not in the sweet by and by, but in the here and now. I'm going to give you a power. Can I keep preaching? See, Jesus preached a very simple message. Very simple. What was it? It's the kingdom of heaven has come to earth. And we want you to enter this kingdom. The driving motivation for Jesus' life was not, brothers and sisters, to get us into heaven. If that was the case, then why, after we're born again, doesn't he just take us to heaven? I knew it was going to get quiet. The goal is to get heaven into us. Not so much getting us into heaven as getting heaven into us. My sweet brothers and sisters, I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here to have a conversation with you this morning. Does it make sense that Jesus came to save us so that we could just sit around and wait 70, 80, 90, if you're really blessed, 100 years, and then go to heaven? Is that why Jesus came to save us? See, God had a purpose on the earth. He preached the good news. He healed the broken and hearted. He set the captive free. He loosed those who were oppressed. He restored beauty. He gave beauty for ashes. And he preached God's favor. Now, when I look at the relationship between God and his only begotten son, and then I look at my relationship, mine and Janet's, with Trey and Molly, our children, then I juxtapose those two thoughts together and I look at that. I'm asking myself, why would we want Trey and Molly to struggle every day for 80 years of their life, have them sing and rejoice about another place that is so much better for them than the here and now, but just work Trey and Molly for the next 60, 80 years and just hope and pray for a better day? That really doesn't appeal to me as an earthly father. I want them to enjoy the here and now. I want them, according to the scripture, he said in John 10 and 10, I have come that they may have life. One version, the NIV says, and have life to the full. See, we like to talk about heaven because it helps get our minds off of our problems here on earth. And we're busy singing, I'll fly away and just over in the glory land. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Not against any of that. Not against it. But we do that a lot because for a little while we forget our car troubles. For a little while we forget the problems we're having on our job. For just a little while we're forgetting about that the rent was increased and we don't have a job. For just a little while we forget about our health issues and our family troubles. And that is very understandable. I want to go to heaven too. But the consequences of this kind of preaching is that we get to a place, we just look at people and we say, hang in there, things are tough, but the Lord is coming back. And when he does, he's going to take us out of all this mess. Now, the comfort of heaven helps to sustain us. It helps to remind us that we have a hope beyond the grave. And I'm all for that. But heaven and preaching heaven was never the focus of Jesus nor his disciples. If you study the Word of God, you will find that Jesus literally taught more about hell than he ever did heaven. Now, I know this is foreign to you, and this is why I'm just having a conversation. When Jesus came to earth, he did not come to earth just to die, to forgive your sin, and then, boom, go back to heaven. Did he? No. See, Scripture doesn't promise us that Jesus would rescue us from a world that is on the brink of overtaking us. Jesus said this in John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you're going to have what? You're going to have trouble. He's very upfront. In the world, you're going to have trouble. Be of, I have. Do you know when Jesus said this? He said this before he ever went to Gethsemane and Calvary. He said it before he ever went to the cross. So what does that mean? In his mind, he knew exactly where he was going, and he already saw himself as an overcomer. I know I'm going to Gethsemane. I know I'm fixing to give up my life. But listen here, disciples, you have peace and be of good cheer because I've already overcome. Why? Because I got the Spirit of Christ in me, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, we tell people to put their faith in Jesus for salvation, and then we focus on heaven as our goal and destination. Jesus, again, did not preach a lot about heaven. The disciples did not preach a lot about heaven. There is a lot of appeal to preach about heaven because we want to go there in the sweet by and by. But people struggle on earth daily. And we need a message to help them, not so much in the sweet by and by, but in the sour here and now. Well, to live with those above, that'll be glory. But to live with those below, that's another story. Are you with me? This is what I'm saying. Jesus wasn't just coming and preaching about heaven and saying, listen, I'm giving you a way to escape this old world. He was telling us that when you enter into the kingdom of God and you're born again, then I'm going to give you the Spirit and empower you not to be afraid of the tribulation that's going to come, but I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to tell you I had in my mind already overcome Gethsemane and the cross, and that's what I want for you. I want you to know that no matter what the world throws at you, you're already an overcomer because you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you. Somebody give God some praise in his house. See, we need to be taught how to live in the world, not how to just escape the world. What this means is that we have to learn, brothers and sisters, to live and to think like kingdom citizens. We can overcome in this world. We can be victorious in this world. We can be fruitful, not just in the sweet by and by, but in the sour here and now. People need to see there is a person that is not giving in to addiction. There is a person that is not having to take four pills because they're always depressed. There is a person that does have the joy of the Lord and a smile on their face. And even though they're going through hell, they know greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. God did not bring me this far. Can I talk to you for a few more minutes? See, it means that we can overcome, say, right now. Right now. Listen, the reason why, brothers and sisters, the world is not beating the door down to the church is because they see very little difference between them and us. And at least they get to keep their 10%. Why go give 10% when I'm living just as good as you? Why go to church every Sunday morning when I can sleep in? You know there's a devil because you can't sleep any better than on a Sunday morning. I may wake up at 4 o'clock most nights, but I don't wake up hardly at 4 on a Saturday night. And I did this morning and I was up, but that's rare. Because here's the deal. The devil wants you sleeping in on a Sunday. Right? That's good sleep. And what is the attraction? See, there was something about Jesus that attracted Nicodemus. He's like, and nobody can teach this like you. And then nobody follows it up with this kind of demonstration. You don't just preach the word, you demonstrate it in power. I want some of that. How do I get in? He said, you can get into this kingdom, but you got to be born again. Because you can't do what I do without the Spirit. You can't do what I do without having what I have. And brothers and sisters, I'm just talking with you this morning. But when we're as broke, busted, disgusted, mad, depressed, can't smile. The world looks at us and says, what's the attraction? I know we think that, you know, we got this great message, but if our life is not backing it up, then what's the appeal? Words are cheap. You hear words every day on your TV, on podcasts. You're inundated with words. It's not words that change us. It's the power of God that changes us. Here's what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, that Jesus showed you exactly what he wanted you to be by his example on the earth. He said, I brought heaven down to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not thy kingdom go. Not, I'll go to heaven. We can't wait to get out of this. And that's not what he was praying. He said, thy kingdom come. I want the kingdom to come down upon the earth. I want people to see Jesus in my disciples. I want people to see the joy of the Lord. I want people to see them overcoming even in tribulation and trials and distress. Woo! The lady at the well said, Lord, I would really give me some of this water. He said, listen here, sis, this water you can't get from this well. You got to get it from this well. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the living water. I am everything you need. If you need a doctor, I am that. If you need a lawyer, I am that. When you got Christ in you, you got everything that you need. You are a living epistle written and read of all men. Oh, come on, give God some praise in this house. My. See, if all Jesus wanted to do is just save us, then why didn't he just come? You get saved, he knock you out, take you to heaven. That wouldn't be hard. Why does he leave you here for 60, 80, maybe even 100 years? He has a purpose for you. Your purpose, brothers and sisters, is not for you to mope and grope and sing, won't it be wonderful there? I just can't wait to get out of this. This whole world is just... I'm glad I can make you laugh. No, that's an exaggeration. Of course, you know that. But let's be honest. How are you doing? Oh, well, you know, I'm doing all right. Making it. It's another day. Just trying to make it through another day. In other words, what I see a lot out of most Christians, and I love Christians, I love them, love them. But what I see is we're not thriving, we're just surviving. We're not making it through the month, we're just trying to make it through the day. Forget the month. Let's just make it through the day. Am I telling y'all the truth? I mean, most Christians need to notify their face that they're even saved. I mean, it's bad, y'all. I'm serious. It's bad. You go to the Brookshires, and if you don't go to their church, they can't even talk to you. I thought we was on the same team here, but obviously we're not. Y'all, I'm not going to finish this, so I'm going to just go ahead and tell you some humor, so I'm not going to finish. Here it is. So the Presbyterians, I may have already told you this. So the Presbyterians get to heaven, and Peter tells them, look, you go to 201, but as you pass 200, don't say anything. Don't speak. Don't say anything. Catholics come up and he says, look, you go to 202, but when you pass 200, don't say anything. The Baptists come up and says, look, when you pass 200, don't say anything. And finally, somebody brave enough to say, what is the deal in room 200? And Peter said, well, that's all where the Pentecostals are at, and they think they're the only ones who made it. So just be real quiet. It just blows my mind, y'all, that I see in this scripture, I see and read that people are going to be saved out of every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. What? Every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue? Then that means somebody may be saved that doesn't fly the UPCI banner. How could that be? I'm going to tell you how it can be. It's going to be real simple. God ain't going to check your label when you come in. He's going to want to tell you and want to know what he told Nicodemus. You can't get in here unless you're born again. And you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Somebody stand to your feet and give God some praise. All over this house, let's give him praise. Give him praise right now, like you know him, like you're glad that you know him, that you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. No, just remain standing because I can't finish this. See, I was going to talk to you about there's more behind the door, but you know what? I didn't even get there. So I'm really wondering if I ought to tell you that, because I can just save that for another sermon. There's more behind the door. There's a kingdom. Yeah. See, very rarely do you open a door and there's a brick wall. Most of the time when you open a door, there's something that you're going to enter into. He said, I am the door. Right? You got to go through me, and that's good, and it's a must. You got to, but there's more behind the door. I'm going to talk about that. See, there's a kingdom behind the door. And see, listen to me, and I'll wrap this up. See, being born again is not a diploma. It's a birth certificate. Welcome to the kingdom. You just got born. There's something behind the door, and it's called the kingdom of God. And it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Man, I tell you what, when you really begin to realize that God has more for you. See, we basically preach that when you're born again, Throw your hands up. You've crossed the finish line. No, you have not. When you're born again, you just got out of the starting blocks. You just started on the race. Yes. There's way more than just the door. There's things behind that door. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what is in the kingdom for you. There's more than just in the sweet by and by. There's some blessed here and now that God wants you to overcome. I'm not saying you're not going to have trouble. Jesus said you're going to have trouble. But he also said, little children, I have overcome the world. And because I am in you, you can overcome too. Lay your hand on your neighbor right now. Pray over them in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over my neighbor right now. Lord, let them have a revelation of who they are in Christ. They're not God, just somebody. They're a child of God. They are a citizen of heaven with all the benefits of being a citizen of heaven. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that he has brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here's where I want the Lord to take me and to take us. I want to teach his word with authority and power, but I want to stop there. I want to demonstrate his word with signs, miracles, and wonders. This is more than me just looking at you and telling you, hang on, Jesus is coming. This is telling you that Jesus came to earth and he gave us an example of what he wanted in the earth. And so he conquered death, hell, the grave. He had total dominion over fear, doubt, worry, unbelief. Did he have persecution? Sure he did. He had a disciple that denied him. He had one that betrayed him. He had the elders that rejected him. Jesus knew all about rejection and persecution and tribulation and trials. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome. How did he overcome? Not in his flesh. He overcame through the Spirit. See, that's what you are. You have, if you have been born again, you have the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And I know that's a lot to wrap your mind around. It's hard to even imagine that we're greater than Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, but we are. Not because of who we are, but because of who is in us. And you know what Jesus said? He said this. He said, look, I go to my Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter. And guess what you're going to do with it? You're going to do even greater works than these. I don't think there's any greater work than raising someone from the dead. So he can't be talking about the quality. He's got to be talking about the quantity. We are to see even greater quantities of what Jesus saw because he is in us. And we're not to just sit here and munch out our days waiting for Jesus to show up and sing, I fly away, oh glory. And we're going to sing, I fly away. But there's way more than just trying to get out of here to heaven. He wants you to overcome every addiction, every hurt, every habit, and every hang-up through the power of the Spirit. If this word has resonated in you, would you just lift up your hands if you're a believer? And would you just give God praise right now? Would you just give him praise right now?
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.